call this meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. For the record, is 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 7th, 2019. We're in the Belts Room of the Thomas Stewart Building. We have a quorum to do business. Senator Gray Jackson, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
Senator Hoffman will be here momentarily. He's away on other state business. Senator Birch, good afternoon, sir. And Senator Costello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Okay. My staff is here, Cody Grusendorf, Christopher Dickrell on Senate Records, Eileen Keim from the LIO. We know the drill on cell phones. We have three items today. First one up is HJR 10 Road Belt Intertie, sponsored by Rep. Tallarico. And Representative Tallarico, if you would like to come forward, and you know the drill, sir, and we'll get this show on the road.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss HJR 10 with you this afternoon. House Joint Resolution 10 supports the development of a road belt electrical transmission line, and it urges the members of the Alaska delegation in Congress to pursue the development of this electrical line for us. And as you're probably aware, we do have a what we refer to as a rail belt intertie, which runs all the way from Homer up to mm-hmm. Fairbanks and, for all intents and purposes, down to Delta Junction. For years, this has been studied to complete what's referred to as a bus loop, which would go up the Glen Highway and up the Richardson Highway and would complete an actual looped rail, rail system. I'm sorry, I have two resolutions going at the same time. This would create a looped electrical system that would provide contiguous power and the ability to have some redundancy in that system all along the road system. And one of the reasons that we're very interested in having our congressional delegation support this is I know you're all aware of the developments that we've had with the Department of Defense and what's been going on with not only Eielson Air Force Base and Clear Air Force Station, but also Fort Greely. And the main theme behind the resolution is really to support our national defense system, make sure that we have that power available. As they continue to expand these projects, they're expanding our not only our economic base, but our population base as well in all of these communities. So as those populations grow, the need and demand for power also exists. Along the corridor, there are about 17 smaller communities that have microgrids within them. And I probably don't have to tell you folks, you've certainly heard what people sometimes, what they have to pay per kilowatt hour for power when they're on a microgrid. They're pretty expensive. And with the development of this, this would provide an opportunity for them to hook to the entire grid that we have. It would hook our utility systems into the grid, and they do have the capacity to fill that and provide that power. It also gives us an opportunity to potentially improve our economic development as far as our community development, mining opportunities along the way. There are some, I think what I would refer to as substantial agriculture opportunities over there, in particularly not just up in the Delta area, but also down near Kenny Lake, Copper Center, and in those areas, that's quite a development as well. So the bus loop would have the opportunity to lower costs for our residents in the area and also to develop our economic base throughout the entire region. The study, probably first they would have to start with a study to do that, although several of the areas have been gone over several times in a study. Representative Rauscher from District 9 has also spoken to his folks in Sutton. They had definite concerns about overhead lines going through there and everything, and there's been discussion about the potential to put that underground as well. But this would be a full connection and would basically provide what I would refer to as contiguous power all along the highway system, which I think would be a very substantial development for all of those folks in that area. That's basically the gist of the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. And we did have a great comprehensive overview on this road belt intertie on March 14th mm-hmm. in the committee, and you just reemphasized the importance and need in the support of this resolution to our delegation and for our national defense, and did a good job outlining that. If I see no questions for committee members right at this time, I would like to open for public testimony. Okay, we're open for public testimony, and I think we have one person from the Alaska Power Association in Anchorage. Crystal, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Could you put your name and affiliation on the record in 2 minutes, please?
Yes, I'm Crystal Engstedt, and I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Power Association.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. So good afternoon. Again, my name is Crystal Engstedt, and I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Power Association, the statewide Alaska Electric Utility Association. Alaska Power Association strongly supports the deployment of electric transmission infrastructure that brings reliable electricity to Alaskans and stimulates economic development. The Road Belt Electrical Transmission Line project, currently being explored by Copper Valley Electric Association and the Copper Valley Development Association, with the support of various stakeholder groups, would connect that region of the state to the Rail Belt transmission grid. The transmission project, should it receive the necessary funding support from the federal government, would increase Alaska's electric system reliability, allow for the integration of more renewable energy, enhance the reliability of power to military installations, provide an alternate power route for the Anchorage Fairbanks intertie, and enable economic development opportunities in the greater Copper Valley region. As indicated in our letter dated December 8, 2017, Alaska Power Association supports the efforts underway for the Road Belt Electrical Transmission Line project, including the analysis of transmission infrastructure options to achieve increased reliability and more affordable electric rates for residents in the Copper Valley Richardson Highway region. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Crystal, for that overview and your support of this resolution. Do I see questions from committee members? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No questions. I just want to say hello, Crystal, and thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Seeing none and nobody else online for public testimony, we're closing public testimony. Any final wrap-up questions, committee members, Senator, Representative Tallarico? Any final wrap-up comments?
Mr. Chairman, I very much appreciate your time and the time of the honorable committee members. Thank you.
You're welcome. Senator Birch?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd move HJR 10, version LS0596/S from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections from committee members, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill packet. Record. Next up, we have HJR 14, urging support of the Nome Deep Draft Port. I'd like to welcome Representative Co-Chair of Finance Neil Foster and his assistant Paul LeBeau to the table. We've got good two good gnome gentlemen here carrying the water.
Thank you.
All right. And following introductions, we're going to have Joey Baker. She's the port director of Nome, I believe, right, Rep. Foster, that's going to run the speak to the slides. Paul, you're going to run the slide deck. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul LeBeau, staff to Representative Foster. That is correct.
All right. Okay. Rep. Foster, floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Representative Neil Foster from Nome, House District 39, and members of the committee, thanks for hearing this. The resolution before you asks for three things regarding the Nome Deep Draft Arctic Ports. The first is that the legislature urge our congressional delegation to pursue infrastructure funding. The second being that the Alaska Department of Transportation send a letter to our congressional delegation supporting the Deep Draft Arctic Port in Nome. And the third being that the Alaska Department of Transportation work collaboratively with the City of Nome to provide technical support. And so, Mr. Chairman, we're not asking for funding from the state. This has been underway for some time, and thanks to previous funding from the state, it's ready and able to complete final feasibility and design. Mr. Chairman, this resolution, if passed, expresses the legislature's and the DOT's support for this critical maritime transportation project. And with that, I would defer to Joy Baker, Nome Port Director, for more details.
Thank you. All right, seeing no questions, the committee sponsor at this time. Ms. Joy Baker, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right, well, the floor is yours, and Paul's assured me he can run the program.
I'm quite confident that Paul can run the program. Thank you, Chairman Bishop and honorable committee members. Good afternoon. My name is Joy Baker, and I serve as a port director for the City of Nome. I appreciate the opportunity to present on House Joint Resolution 14 in support of an Arctic Deep Draft Port in Nome, a project that the City of Nome has been moving towards for many years. Next slide, please.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
The brief history slide. The original Arctic Port study was a partnership between the Corps of Engineers, Alaska District, and the Alaska Department of Transportation, which evaluated 13 locations along the northern and western coast of Alaska, selecting Nome as the most cost-effective for further investigation and initial investment, and based on the criteria shown on the slide, as well as the existing community infrastructure, airport, and medical facilities. And as most know, the project was paused when Shell pulled out of the Arctic in 2015. Next slide, please. On the study restart and timeline, thanks to the hard work of the Alaska delegation, several new congressional authorities were put into place that supported the restart of the Arctic Deep Draft Port study and allowed the City of Nome to sign a cost share agreement with the Alaska Core District to continue moving forward with the feasibility phase. It's important to note here that this forward progress was only made possible through legislative grants to support the city's cost share portion from the state of Alaska. So we thank you for that. It is also worthy to note that the standard core program allows for a three-year study, but this project was accelerated to 28-month schedule with an anticipated chief's report expected to Congress approximately 1 year from now. And that is the feasibility report. Next slide. In identifying justification and purpose, this graph reflects 2018 maritime traffic, courtesy of our friends at the Marine Exchange, which continues to rise due to the available of open water and increased interest in navigating these waters for the purposes of commodity movement, resource development, and tourism, as well as geopolitical and strategic reasons. As these interests continue to rise, so does the need to provide deep draft port infrastructure in the U.S. Arctic to support these vessel fleets, shown in more detail on the next slide. Next slide, please. Ensuring there is sufficient infrastructure to support all of these fleet types It's critical to protecting life safety, national security, the environment, natural resources, research, and the economy, both at the regional and state levels. Providing support within the region to support refueling and resupply needs, as well as staging for search and rescue, oil spill response, and scientific operations is essential for supporting these critical missions. This saves larger ships the 3 to 5 day trek to Dutch Harbor for vessels transiting and working the Arctic. Additional scope of the study is to provide safe, reliable, and efficient navigation for transshipping fuel, cargo, and gravel through the Arctic region and beyond. Next slide. To meet increased vessel traffic demands at the Port of Nome in the past 10 years and in preparation of an expansion, the city has been incrementally developing shoreside infrastructure. This includes an additional dock at the port to address congestion and delays, expanded laydown property, and increased capacity within the river for transshipping cargo. At this time, one of our priority projects is developing a port reception facility to accept all forms of ship waste from the regional and Arctic maritime fleets. This project is presently in the planning and design phase and is critical for protecting the marine environment, which many use as a significant source of subsistence foods across the region. Next slide. The project will expand existing infrastructure to a 40-foot basin depth and relocate the east breakwater further east for adding a road and docks in order to separate pedestrian vessels from industrial vessel traffic for safety purposes and increases the existing outer basin to a minus 28-foot depth. A provision in the water 2018 legislation allows the project to move immediately into the design phase upon signature of the feasibility report in June of 2020. Upon authorization of funding of construction by Congress, it is anticipated the project could be complete as soon as 26 or 2027. And as a side note to that, the draft feasibility report is scheduled for release tomorrow for public and agency comment period. Next slide. In closing, the City of Nome is not seeking funding from the legislature, but requests support for the project through passage of this resolution. This project is essential for supporting the region's economies, the state's natural resources, and the nation's sovereignty and security. And therefore, it is important to demonstrate the state of Alaska's support for this national project. Next slide. Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank Representative Foster and his staff for all their support in the pursuit of this project and appreciate yours and the committee's time today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that. That was a very good comprehensive overview. Questions from committee members? Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I this is a very poignant presentation here for me. I was actually the project manager on the Causeway extension that was that you're going to be adding to out there in the mid-80s, and it's very encouraging to see this type of initiative and direction. I guess one from a materials sourcing standpoint, there's still plenty of rock in the neighborhood, as I recall. Is that correct, through the chair?
Yes, Senator Birch, through the chair, the rock quarry east of Nome, we've been told that it has just about 100-year life expectancy left in the quarry.
And good rock, too, as I recall. Yep. Thank you.
Yes, great. Senator Birch, through the chair, yes, that is the highest quality rock along the coast and sought out by many owners and project designers for breakwater stone.
Great presentation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing none, I'll just echo Senator Birch's observation on the Cape Nome. It is good rock. So, all right, we're going to go to our next testifier, and we're going to go to Nome. I think we're going to go to Nome because Charles Lean, are you on, sir? 2 minutes if you're there.
Mr. Chair, this is Charles Lean in Nome.
Thank you. Put your name on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. My name is Charles Lean. I am the vice chair of the Nome Park Commission. I'm a 45-year resident of Nome. I'm speaking in favor of this resolution. I just point out that Alaska has 50% of the nation's coastline. The Arctic Ocean waters are approximately half of Alaska's waters, and therefore we're 25%. We own 25% of the marine waters of the country. And Nome is the central port to that. So it's not only important as a regional hub and a regional freight hub, but it's also important for the nation. And freight passing through the Bering Strait represents about a 40% reduction in distance of travel if it were to go some other route. So freight from Alaska going to the east coast of the U.S. would have reduced costs, and therefore it's important to Alaska, not only the region. So I wanted to make that point. It's certainly important to the region, and it's really important to Nome. It's a economy driver for us, and I thank you for your support, and really that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Lean, for your comments. Next, we're going to stay in Nome. Mr. Benneville, Richard Benneville, City of Nome, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Richard Benfield, and I'm happy to be the mayor of Nome. And in addition to the comments that have been made, I'd like to paint it with a couple of broader strokes to kind of open up the concept of this whole port thing. I've been fortunate enough to travel a good deal in the Arctic nations, and learning to say several things I've learned. Number one, there are only two ways to get from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean by water in the Northern Hemisphere, and they are the Bering Strait and the Panama Canal. We are some 70 miles from the Bering Strait. Secondly, traveling in Norway and Sweden, etc., I have learned that to the Swedes, the Norwegians, the Finns, the Greenlanders, the Icelandic people, they are not looking at the future. They are in it as we speak. And when I come back home to my country, the United States of America, we are lagging a bit behind in infrastructure, in strategic preparation for the world that is coming to us. And I believe in my heart that this is incredibly important to the nation, as Mr. Lee just said. We are in a new world. We have a lot of not just population, but we have all of this territory. We have the legacy of the young people of Alaska, northern, far north Alaska, to think of as well. So there will be lots of things happening here besides resources and exploration of that. But we have NOAA doing charting. We have the strategic importance. I grew up in the Cold War, and there's a White Alice site from the Dew Line right outside of Nome. So we must be alert, too, of our friends across the way, because strategic importance is very, very important. And I think it was Churchill who said, if we don't learn from the past, we are doomed to repeat it. So I appreciate this committee's support of the bill. I hope it will pass. I want to also thank the Representative Foster, as well as Paula Bowl. They worked tirelessly on our behalf, and we appreciate it. I wish I were there in person, and I would be very happy to entertain any questions. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony. I don't see any questions, but it's always I like to hear you testify, because I always learn a little something more, and I'll just echo your comments about the Arctic nations. I was recently in Iceland for 8 days, and you're right on point. So seeing nobody else here in Nome, we're going to go to William Harrington in Anchorage. Mr. Harrington?
Thank you, Chairperson. William Harrington, unaffiliated with a retired person's point of view. As an Alaskan, the build-out of an Arctic port in Nome is exciting to protect and service the communities thereabouts. Coupled with the touted railroad through Canada to the lower 48, and you have centuries of benefits for the northern half of the state. The lack of fiscal note does not mean there will be no economic upheaval individually by region, with some winners as billions in construction for port and rail, with the convenience of the use and the economic advantage of not participating and using the port located in Anchorage, which presently boasts 85% of statewide freight crossing its dock. 85% passing through a known active earthquake zone. I might not have graduated from high school, but my grandma told me, don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially a basket that's in an earthquake zone. Then she slapped me upside the head. Just kidding. It defies my logic to spend $2 billion, which the city's proposing, in this earthquake zone. And I encourage this push to open up the northern extremities to affordable, safe transportation via the Nome port expansion and the cross-boundary rail link. Port expansion and infrastructure at Kotzebue and Bethel should be in the mix to allow for direct delivery from Seattle and to make some dent in the freight cost of, and the frightening cost of living throughout the state. We pay 140% for everything we get, and what do we get for it? Should this project be done by 2027, I might still be alive. Otherwise, good luck all.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we're going to close public testimony. It's closed. And any final questions from committee members? Representative Foster, any wrap-up comments, sir?
If the committee gets a chance, an article just came out in the ADN today that was picked up from the Washington Post. Just the title reads, Pompeo warns of the dangers of Russian and Chinese activities in the Arctic. And essentially what it's saying is they're really ramping up their infrastructure and their presence in the Arctic. And so there really is a race for the Arctic. And if you get a chance to look at that, I'd encourage that. But besides that, thank you for hearing this bill.
All right, thank you. Seeing no,
I read that article.
Seeing no further questions from committee members, no objections. Well, this committee is going to move this bill, HJR 14, version M. Senator Birch.
Mr. Chair, I move HJR 14, version LS 0593/M from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Next up is HJR 9, the Elizabeth Peredovich commemorative coin. I'd like to welcome up Representative Johnson and staff Marcy Herman to the table to present this resolution. And you folks know the drill. Please put your name on the record and please proceed.
All right, thank you, Senator
Bishop, members of the committee. Good to be here. My name is Delena Johnson, and I'm happy to present HJR 9 to you today. It's kind of a fun, very fun resolution, I think. It came to me by way of some 4-H kids that joined, came to visit me in my office. They were from the Eagle 4-H Club and the Interior Forget-Me-Not 4-H Club, Liberty Skelly, and I'll find the other name here in a second. But anyway, so in 2018, there was a the American Dollar Coin Act was passed with an additional piece to it that there will be Native American, each coin, there will be a Native American coin that goes along with it. So they've already chosen Elizabeth Paratovich to be the fourth Native American coin. Some of the questions that they've came up with is all the dollar coins have to have Sacagawea on the coin, and indeed this will have Sacagawea on it as well, but it's on the reverse side. Let's see. I'm trying to think. What I don't want to filibuster my own bill here, but there is some things that have came up when we presented it in the House side as far as whether this would be of cost. Would it cost anything? Well, no, because it's the U.S. Mint is actually an enterprise fund of the U.S. government. It will make its money back from the collector's editions that it runs. So this resolution asks that there will be an extra about $2 million in coinage that would be distributed through the Seattle and the San Francisco Reserve Bank. So those coins would be distributed here in Alaska. Typically, the run for this would only go to collectors, and so the 4-H Club had asked what their ask was. Would we ask to have a resolution that would ask for an additional 2 million in coins that would be distributed so we could actually use those as coinage in Alaska? I kind of got ahead of myself. I was so excited about presenting it because it is an interesting piece, and I think we all are familiar with Elizabeth Paratovich, but we have our gallery in the House named after her, but she is a national figure. I mean, I think, but by having her on the I'm going to call Lifeline, Marcy Herman, is she the first singular Alaska Native woman besides Sacagawea that's on the coin?
For the record, my name is Marcy Herman. I'm legislative staff to Representative Johnson, District 11. She is the first, she's the fourth singular American or Alaska Native, but the first woman other than Sacagawea. That is correct.
And I'm happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Well, I share your enthusiasm. Is Design 9 is the one that was selected? I was just reading that in our notes, and it is, I just wondered if that.
I am not certain that they have chosen that design yet. At the time that I presented in the House, unless there's a new, they had not chosen the final design for the coin quite yet.
Okay.
Unless there's some new information.
I'd vote for the other one if I could, but. Yeah, design 06. We have that in our folders, right? Everybody's got that design. Yeah. Any questions from the committee members? I'm going to go to public testimony at this time. I'd like to open public testimony. We have Richard Hanscom from Fairbanks, LIO. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please put your name on the record and 2 minutes for your testimony, sir.
Thank you. My name is Richard Hanscom. I'm a member of the Fairbanks Coin Club. I'd like to urge you to support HJR 9, which calls for the release of the Elizabeth Paratovich dollar into circulation in Alaska. It's the current practice of the United States Mint to make dollar coins for sale only to collectors. If the coin is not placed in circulation, it will just be another collector's coin unknown to the general public. The act of placing the coin into circulation will reaffirm the commitment to the Alaska anti-discrimination law passed by the territorial legislature in 1945. It would be a fitting way to honor the work of Elizabeth Paratrovich. A circulating coin would be a daily reminder to adults and an educational tool for the children. I would hope you would join the House in supporting HJR 9, indicating to the Mint that we would like the coin to be issued to circulation in Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any comments from committee members? And I support your testimony as well, and I read your email, sir. So I used to be quite the coin buff when I was a kid. So I support this endeavor. So we're going to close public testimony because I see no one else online. Is that correct, Christopher? All right. Public testimony is closed. Any questions from committee members? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a question. I just want to thank Representative Johnson. I'm so excited about this. I'm so glad you brought it forward. And I know that I don't have any say in which coin is picked, but I'm going to just focus on them picking design number 5. It's a better choice, in my opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Any wrap-up comments?
Well, I do. I want to just to go off of what the person that was testifying, a note about Elizabeth Paratrovich and why she is such a stellar figure in our history. Before we talk about, we had, you know, the Civil Rights Acts of the 1960s, Elizabeth Paratrovich was involved with the Alaska Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945. So back before that, we even knew what to call things exactly and how to call things out. Elizabeth Paratrovich had been the recipient of discrimination, and she found her voice and made sure that voice was known in Alaska. So I believe it's fitting that she was chosen to be on the coin, and anyway, and I'm pleased, and I'm also delighted about just having those kids there from Interior Alaska bring this forward. It was a great, it's just an honor to carry it on their behalf.
Thank you for those closing comments. What's the will of the committee? You ready? Senator Birch.
Mr. Chair, I move HJR 09, version LS 0573/M from committee with attached 0 fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Thank you. The bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill packet. Back on the record, I'd like to conclude today's meeting. And let's don't forget Mr. Fisher to celebrate his recognition at 5 o'clock today. That's going to be exciting. Concludes our meeting for today. Thank everyone for an attendance, and we're gaveled out at 4:10.
Thank you.